and sing, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. Mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Amen. How do we do that? We worship him, our loving Lord and Saviour. Let's sing 389, with my hands lifted up. And you're allowed to do that.
With my hands lifted up, and my lips filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, we bless thee, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, we bless.
to bless the Lord. You know, if you bless the Lord, you're an absolute minority. How many other people on the street of Gisborne do you know that would bless the Lord? There's one or two, that's for sure. But the majority of people do not bless the Lord that you know. Let's sing 398. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Saviour to save a poor lost soul like me. Worship Him from your heart.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley.
Good to include yourself within these songs, even likes. He gave His life, but for even me. Well, that's you and me. I've often told people, I always like it when the last word is me, it's Lee. That's my name. So I'm really pleased about that. Because Paul's not here, Brother Brian, we'll have testimonies after this next song, if you could use the microphone, brother. 391, I hear the Saviour say. 391. Jesus paid it all, is the chorus. I hear my Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Seated. Do we have anyone that has a testimony they'd like to share? Just let us know, indicate, we'll bring you the microphone. Just while you're thinking, we prayed for Sister Roberta sitting at the back of the church earlier on at prayer time because she had a severe toothache. She was telling me at the luncheon over there. She came up and she said, Brother Lee, after we prayed, that pain just went, just like that. And I said, well, I'd like for you to tell the people. She said, well, she had to go with the Hugheses, so I said, well, I'll tell them. And so she said, thank you for doing that. So that's good, eh?
Amen.
You know, the Lord does it in lots of ways. I often tell people when I'm testifying to ones or two that, you know, if you pray, God has different ways of doing things. He can use surgery. He can use medication. He can use... here it goes again, my head. Miracles. And when it happens like that, it's just like that. And I said, all we need to do is believe. Having prayed, believe that you will receive. Any testimonies from anybody? Just raise a hand. Well, there's three. Okay, Brian, take the nearest one. Brother Taz.
Kia ora, brothers and sisters. Over the past week, what the Lord has been showing me through different things that have happened is just how much He's involved in every area of our lives without us realizing it. And the way that He emphasized that to me was, I've sort of been working clearing a couple of large old shrubs and that sort of thing during the week. But on one occasion, basically what I did was my slash, I finished up covering it under all the slash. And then when I went to look for it, I couldn't find it. And I just said, Lord, you show me. You show me where it is. And as I was pottering around, then I was sort of drawn to just a wee bit of brown that was sticking out from all the slash. And it was the very end of my slasher. And so that's one incident. Another incident was I was actually loading stuff on the trailer. I had gloves on. I took those gloves off, and, of course, I put the gloves in the wrong place, right where I was loading all the rubbish. So I finished up covering the gloves that I had. And again, when I went to look for them, I couldn't find them. And so I asked the Lord again to show me, to indicate. And that's exactly what happened. And over the last couple of years, for me, there has been a lot of challenges going on regarding my own children, especially the ones in Australia that have been, you know, in the faith. They've been walking with the things of God for well over 20, 25 years now. But these particular children of mine, they've strayed for some reason. Things has happened in their lives that has caused them to so-called become offended and all that sort of thing. And as a result, Satan is having a real good time with the both of them. But again, it comes to the place with me where there's one side of my fatherhood that wanted to jump on a plane and go over and so-called rescue them out of the consequences of their silly choices and actions. Between doing that and just entrusting them to the Lord. And God is basically confirming to me anyway, by all these little God wings that are happening in my life, son, I've got everything under control. And I believe that that's what God wants to encourage us. When we lift our families up to the Lord and put them on the altar to God, God will do His purpose, His plan in their lives. And we just keep our families covered in prayer. That's all we can do as parents. We can cry, you know, because of what they're going through. But God hears even our cries. So be encouraged.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Taz. And we had one from Leah. And then one down here. Was it Tato? Oh, June. Sister June. Hello.
I just want to thank the Lord basically for the trials and challenges He does put us through, because I actually believe the ones that me and my boys have been through in the last year have actually brought me to this amazing church family, and I think that's actually been a real blessing. You all have been a real blessing to us. I had an awesome birthday week. I don't think I've been out to dinner so much in my life. Scales have showed it. The boys have got to go away last week and had an amazing time. And I do think that was, I believe that God was putting things in motion that allowed us to have these opportunities and to be amongst you all.
Praise the Lord. Good to know. Sister June?
Excuse me. Well, I can thank the Lord for taking us over to Greece and back safely, for watching over us on the roads, and which are very narrow and steep in places. And for all He did for us, I really give Him all the praise. Even like at London, I still didn't have a boarding pass to get to Athens because it couldn't be printed here in Gisborne, and my luggage was going on to Athens, and there just didn't seem to be anyone that could help me get this boarding pass, and I just knew that the Lord would work it out anyway. One young lady came to my rescue and she said, look, I'll take you back to where you came from, backwards, through doors that only staff could use and that sort of thing, and or through a door. And so she took me all the way back and told me what to do, and it took quite a while before they were able to get my boarding pass, but I just thanked the Lord that I got it and was able to go on. But anyway, I was so blessed by the brothers and sisters in that we met in Crete, in one town there. You could just feel the sincerity and the love of Christ amongst them. It was, we felt so at home there. And the pastor's message was very edifying and encouraging, and the fellowship later with the brethren was really, really good. And we had a lovely time with Tom and Grace as well, naturally and spiritually, and I just give the Lord all the thanks that he made it possible for us.
Well, that's what it takes. Believe what you pray, and it goes through. Sometimes it's an impossibility for you to understand, but it happens because God's done it. Any others? Sister Diane? Oh, sorry. Hatu?
Just a word of encouragement of the wonderful grace of our Lord. And you, he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, power of the air. Spirit now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation time past, in lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, with his he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together, heavenly places, Christ Jesus, that in ages come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where's my dad?
Sister Diane here.
I just thank the Lord. We had a really, really enjoyable and safe trip to Christchurch and back. But on the trip between Wellington and Christchurch, well, I'm generally not a person that will go in and talk to people about the Lord. I want to, but it just doesn't seem to happen. But I was sitting next to this lady and we're just chatting, and I mentioned something about that I used to have arthritis in my ankles, but it's all well now. And she said, arthritis doesn't get better. How did it get well? And I said, prayer. And she looked at me and her face lit up. She said, I've got arthritis on my knees. Would it work? And I said, it will work because God is real and he'll heal you. And just in the plane, it was beyond me. It was not me. Honestly, it wasn't me. I just laid my hands on her knees and prayed for her. And when we got off the plane, we actually got off the back end and walked across the tarmac, and so we had to walk down steps. And she was bouncing. She said, look at this, I'm walking downstairs. And I said, yes, but you're healed. And it was not me, it was beyond me, because I haven't got that sort of boldness generally. And I just thank God that he is able to use us when we least expect it. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's real good. You know, because you believe what you pray. And sometimes the Lord uses your understanding of what you've prayed for their use. It's a little sample. That lady said she got healed because she prayed about it, and she's prepared to do it for me, and it happens. Sometimes it just takes that little boost, and it's not what Diane did. It's what the Lord did through Di. Okay. All right, well, let's sing another song. While you remain seated, give thanks with a grateful heart. For all these prayers that we give him, we've got to give thanks when he heals us. Number 344, while you remain seated. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Amen. Brother Howard will come in a moment, but let's sing one more. One I was trying to find. You might have seen me looking and looking and looking and looking before. Well, our brother Tess was giving the testimony, and I'm looking, trying to find that tune. And then I thought, it's right under my thumb. And it happens to be 392. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Like to stand, and we'll sing that, and then Brother Howard will come.
I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels are coming after me. Carry me home.
Coming for to carry me home.
be seated.
Praise the Lord. That's good testimonies, weren't they?
Very good. I like to hear of God moving in our midst. But this is just the beginning. God has more for us. We should believe and expect God to answer prayer. And He will. Who believes this? Amen. So we just thank the Lord for that. And I'm sure Sister June will have a few more testimonies about Greece. Brother Taz said to me at lunch that I'd like to hear from Sister June about her experiences with her family and the history and some of the things she's met and people. And it's been pretty amazing, as I said this morning. To everybody we talk to, we come to find out that she's related to them somehow, through somebody, through grandma or through the wife or through the husband. But it's really wonderful that we have people out there, and every one of them is a precious soul, so we love each one of them. Praise the Lord. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 through to 8 on the screen if you haven't got your Bible. You always should have your Bible at church, of course. That's, a soldier doesn't go to war without his sword. You've got to be, have your sword there. So I want to read from verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Isn't that wonderful? God knows your sorrows. Isn't that wonderful? He cares. He knows everything about you. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Can we turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 22? Which says, oh, sorry, Nancy. Which says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. It's awful, isn't it? When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he will answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Think of that. Actually been in the presence of God. This is what he's saying to them. Thou hast taught in our streets, heard really good ministry. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Well, thrust out means they were in there once. So may God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord, we just pray now that you'd speak to us through your word. May it encourage us, Lord, to press into you, knowing that we are living truly in the last days, Lord. We need to be ready. We need to know the hour in which we're living. I pray, Lord, you'll help us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I've just got a simple title to this thought this afternoon is Coming Out to Enter In. It's not just a coming out, it's an entering in too. And we'll see through the scriptures how that applies to us today. And God always has a purpose of calling out. He has a purpose in calling you and me. He calls us out not just to come out, but that we may enter in. Praise the Lord. God didn't just save you to get you out of hell. He didn't do that. But that you may place you into heaven. God is not interested in a separated life, but a filled life. People say, oh, I'm separated now from the world, but he wants to live in you. We're separated out that he may fill us. What's the use of cleaning cups? You know, you clean the cups under the tap if they are never to be filled. What's the point? And you can clean up your life, but you need to be filled. You can come out of the world, but you need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Some may have only taken the first step to come out. And the dangers of only coming out are very bad. Many have come out of their bondages of some church somewhere and teachings, and that's wonderful. But that's not all. God has something far greater than coming out. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So God wanted them to come out into a separating time. You know, brothers and sisters, saints have to separate. God doesn't want us running around with the world, acting like the world, and expecting to be sons and daughters of God, used of God. He wants us to separate, and the Lord wants to receive you and be a father unto you. And we've been born into a new family. You know, brother and sister, we are actually in a new family. I mean, you've got relations, I have too, and they're very nice, praise the Lord. But the thing is, the best family is the family of God. Who wants to be in the family of God? Praise the Lord. Let it be, Lord Jesus. And he says, I want to be a father unto you. Too many only come out of sin. That's good. They come out of sin. Some come out and live a sanctified life. That's good. But do you know what? It's very dangerous a dangerous place to stop there. Oh, I came out of the world and I've separated. But it goes further than that. You know, let's just turn to Matthew 12:43 and just see what Jesus says about this. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. What an audacity for that demon to say, my house. But that's how they treat it. They think they own you, these devils, unclean spirits. So when he's come out, he wants to come back. And when he comes back to that man, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. You know, a man's beautifully separated life. Oh, he goes to church and he pays his tithes like all Christians do. And he does all those things and he's looking pretty good on the outside. But he's empty. There's nothing indoors. Sure, it's the grace of God. Brings him out. Gets him out away from empty, swept and garnished, as Jesus said. Then goeth he and taketh with him, the devil, seven other spirits more wicked than he, than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Think about it. Worse than the first, even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. You know, my wife was saying to me recently that sometimes Christians who took a stand for God and then they came out and but they never went on to receive the Holy Spirit and they slip back and their testimony's lost. Their condition is worse sometimes in the world. Do you agree? It's true. I've seen it. They are worse in the world because they once knew, then they went back on there as this man did, And then 7 other spirits enter in worse than the first spirit. Now this is a admonition from our Lord Jesus. And they enter in and dwell there. And the state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Remember this, you cannot stay empty. You are a vessel. You are a temple for something. If you're not a temple for God, you'll be one for the devil. Now, that's the truth, brother and sister. In Laodicea, this age we're living, the last age, is prophesied to be a coming out age, but few are entering in. They're neither hot nor cold, the Bible says. They're lukewarm. And the Bible says, because the Lord said, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, you're not either for God or against God, but because you're in the middle, he said, you make me sick and I'll spew thee out of my mouth. That's what he says in Revelation. You can read it in Revelation 3. They never went on to enter in. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now listen to this, remember Lot's wife. That's this powerful subject. In the middle of him speaking, he says, remember Lot's wife. Well, what happened to Lot's wife? She came out of Sodom conditions, which we are in today, sodomy. She came out of Sodom, but a big mistake happened. Sodom hadn't come out of her. She was still wanting to go back to where she came out of. She never was separated. She came out physically, but her heart was back in Sodom. And we know the story. The judgment of God fell on her, and she became a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. So when you come out and you separate from the things of the world or the things of the flesh, make sure you receive of the Holy Spirit that keeps you clean. Praise the Lord. And so people can get so close and yet be so far away. Now the children of Israel had a bit of disappointment. After coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world, coming out of their denominations or whatever it was, they came out and they were under great expectation. We're going to the promised land, we're going to the promised land, all excited, we're coming out. If you've seen the Ten Commandments, who's seen the Ten Commandments? That's good. You can see the excitement. We're leaving Egypt. Moses, when we're leaving Egypt, they want to get out. They're all excited and just so thrilled to coming out of the world, because Egypt represents the world. Coming out of Egypt. But the truth is, 2 went in. At 2.5 million people, 2 actually went into the promised land. That's scary. They came out, but they didn't enter in. And brother and sister, that can be in our lives. We can come out of things, but we don't enter in further. We just stop. We don't want to do that. We must go on. God leading you into the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit of God. So we see these things are very challenging. In Hebrews 4:1, to think that the children came so close, they could see the promised land across the way. In Hebrews 4:1, the Bible says, let us therefore fear, it's to be feared, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Coming so far and stop. I have seen people say, I'm going to serve the Lord. They come so far and they stop, they go no further. So this is a sad thing. So what is this rest, this promised land? I want to read you something Brother Branham said. Notice then those who disbelieved after they got so close to the land, talking about crossing over the promised land, that they disbelieved. Now you that's taking notes, put down Hebrews 6, right here where it said, those which were once enlightened, made clear. You can see it. Made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Seeing they fall away to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing that they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, It's impossible for those to be saved. See, just as impossible for those to cross over into the promised land. People come right up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he says. Come right to it and stop. He says here, there's many of them in the world today, little borderline believers. They want to believe the Holy Ghost is real. They want to believe this is an apostolic move. As God promised in the last days, he'd pour out his Spirit. He wants to believe in Malachi 4 that he promised in the last days the original Pentecostal faith would be restored back to the church again. Who believes that? Say amen. The original Pentecostal faith will be restored back before Jesus comes. We're not just going to have a bunch of church people and just sitting in church and having a good sing-song. It's going to be like the early church. I believe the signs that they had in the beginning will be present here. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We must believe that it's going to be the same. And he says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet the last day. That's right. And he will restore the faith of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers again. So we see here this entering into the rest, what it is. Strive to enter, Luke 13:24. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Now, that is a powerful scripture that our Lord is saying. Will seek to enter into the gate and shall not be able. In other words, they want to go to heaven. Always think of that worldly song. Brother Taz will remember that. It was on the radio a lot. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Die to self. You got to die in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we see, it says, seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall we begin to say, oh, Lord, we've eaten, drunken in thy presence. We've been in the conventions. We've seen the Spirit move. And thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Ye depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You know what iniquity is? When you know to do something right and you refuse to do it, is iniquity. I call it a believer's sin. You know what's right to do, but you refuse to do it. That's iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be thrust out. They had to be in there to get out. It's a terrible thought. We've got to be sincere all the way. Who wants to be sincere all the way to the promised land? Right into the presence of God. We're going to go all the way with him, not stopping halfway and say, oh, well, I've done my bit. No. Now it's time to enter in. Now is the day of salvation. Back to our reading in Luke 13, verse 27. Look at this. It says, 26. Luke 13:26. Then shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence and taught in our streets. Mind us of the children of Israel. What happened? They ate of the fruit of Canaan. They ate of the promised land. They actually ate the grapes. They're so big, two men had to carry between them the grapes. The clusters of grapes are so huge, it took two men on a pole to carry one grape. They tell me they still have those grapes today, that variety in Israel. So it's really wonderful when you think about it. And so they did that. They'd eaten and drunken the presence as thou hast and has taught in our streets. But they never entered into the inheritance. They never crossed that river into the promised land. Brother and sister, I don't want to just be an observer. I don't still want to watch the promised land and say, oh, it'd be wonderful to be there. So many seek to enter in, shall not. These are sobering thoughts, brothers. This is what our Lord is telling us and warning us, especially in this last day at the coming of the Lord. We've got to go all the way with God. Be all out for him. People actually have drunk in the presence and fed on the word of God, but never entered in to be his bride, never received his Spirit. The foolish virgins came out of the world. That's true. You know why? They were virgins. A virgin is a clean and sanctified person. Untouched. And they came out of the world. Where did they come out? They came out to meet the bridegroom with their lamps. They're going in with the bride. They're going in with the bridegroom. They're going to the wedding supper. And they came out to meet him. They were virgins. See what it says. They tasted. They wanted it. My, they came so close to being his bride, but they never entered in. They didn't have any oil in their vessel. What does that represent? Holy Spirit. The oil had gone out. They never got the Holy Spirit. They may have had a bit of anointing now and again, like anointed ones at the end time the Bible speaks about. Can be anointed, but not actually in the soul, never letting Christ come and take up residence. Talk about being very close. This man was a close acquaintance of the bridegroom. Let's read this in Matthew 22, verse 9. Close acquaintance. Now, these things are in the Word of God for our admonition. God allowed this to be written. There's a lot of things Jesus said probably were not written. Not everything was written. But these things were written for our admonition. Now, listen to what happens. Matthew 22, verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Brother, get right with God. Get ready for the marriage supper. He's coming to take his people. Who believes he's coming soon? We've got to be ready to go with him. And so those servants went down to the highways and gathered together as many as they found, Brother Taz. You've been out there on the streets. It's really good to get out there. And to tell them. And so they went out onto the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Now what does that tell us? It tells us this. It's grace. You're not going to make it because you're good or because you're bad. You're going to make it because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for you. And they went and the wedding was furnished with guests. So there they were, and when the king came in to see the guests, it's our Lord, he saw there a man which had not the wedding garment. Wow. And he saith unto him, Friend, he wasn't an enemy, but he was a friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Brother and sister, never be speechless on that day. You've got to be ready. And then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man was so close, he could smell the wedding supper, as it were. He was right there. Remember, he was actually invited, and Jesus called him friend. Saints, I don't want it to just be an acquaintance. I don't want to just have an acquaintance with Jesus Christ. I want to be his son. Who wants to be his son? He's our father. We're his sons and daughters. I don't want to just have an acquaintance. And the wedding garment is nothing less than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is what puts you in there. Not going to church. Not preaching the gospel, not playing music or singing, all your gifts, they are wonderful. God gave them to you. You need to have the token, the Holy Spirit. The blood that was on the doors of Egypt was the one that got them, the death angel passed over. So we need to have the Holy Spirit in us, the life of our sacrifice. And Brother Branham says, Now what do you think? When the bridegroom came back, he found a man sitting there without a wedding garment on. He said, Friend, how did you get in here? Oh, I don't want to say that to me. How did you get in here? And he stood speechless. It showed that there was some other way besides the door, which is Christ. He came in a window. He came in the back door. And he called him a friend, showed he was a church member. Friend, how did you get in here without the garment on? Now Jesus said this himself. And he calls to the porter and said, Bind him foot and hand And he was cast out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping, wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's Christ's own words, right? He was cast out because it proved without the wedding garment he came some other way besides the door. If he had come by the door, he would have received the wedding garment. Oh, listen to this, he says. And if the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how are we going to be represented any other way? If the first church age had to come by the door, Christ Jesus, and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to put on the wedding garment, how are we coming any other way? If you come by the Methodist or by the Baptist or by the Pentecostals or any other denomination, you'll be found cast out into outer darkness. You've got to come by Jesus Christ. Amen. The way, the door, the truth and the life. Amen. And now take John 10. He says, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. I am the door that you enter in by. Now there he stands at the door, and there's a man that puts on the robe on him, the Holy Spirit, to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. Now this man had come by some organization back at a window over there, some slip hole. And he got in at the table and sat down. And when the bridegroom comes up and looks around, says, what are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Oh, brothers and sisters, don't ever be there for that. And all these things, how did you ever get in here? Saints, we have to come out and enter in to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't let us come halfway and stop. Oh, you've cleaned up your life, you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, you got baptized, that's wonderful, but don't stop there. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. That's wonderful, but there's more to it than just coming halfway. And he says here, in Matthew, in the last quote here, and so if the spiritual, in the spiritual realm, it's water. Justification by faith, believing on God, receiving Him as your personal Savior, and being baptized. Second is sanctification of the Spirit, that God cleanses the Spirit from all elements of the world and the desires of the world, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you a new birth and fills up that sanctified vessel. God will not fill a dirty cup. We said this morning, the cup has to be cleansed first, then God can fill it. So if we're dabbling in the world, acting like the world, and getting our amusements out of the world, and expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit, forget it. It's not going to happen. For instance, like this now, notice how a glass laying out in the chicken yard, he says. You don't pick it up, table, and fill it with water or milk. No, by picking it up is justification. Cleansing it is sanctification. Because the Greek word sanctify is a compound word which means cleansed and set aside for service. Not in service, for service. And when you fill it, it is put into service. So brother and sister, when you get the Holy Spirit, that puts you into service. It really does. You cannot do anything really without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Now, repenting and giving your heart to the Lord is very good. Being sanctified and cleaning yourself up is good, but you need to be filled. Don't stop halfway. You're coming out to enter in. So let us all just come, not just come out, but let us enter in. Many will hear the eagle cry to come out, but not enter into that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what does the Bible say in closing? Because we're going to have communion shortly. Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's not a casual, oh, see what happens. No, you strive to enter in. Not in your effort, but your hunger and thirst to come to the Lord. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So let us all be a part of all that God has for us today. Brothers and sisters, come the whole way. You know when the power of God comes down here? It's when people, all of us, receive the Holy Ghost. Who believes that? When you're all filled with the Spirit, not just coming to church and singing and those things are great, but brothers and sisters, we need to be filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes down, then maybe somebody be filled with the Spirit and speak in unknown tongues. Then another person will interpret, bring the interpretation that God is bringing. Who believes these things? Believe all that the Word of God has for us. And when we pray for the sick, they shall recover. Hallelujah. Our sister got healed this morning with that toothache. You say, oh, that's just a toothache. Well, it's still faith. Toothache or a broken leg or cancer, whatever it is, I believe God heals today. Is that right, Diane? You believe that? God's healed you of arthritis? You know, brothers and sisters, it's just so wonderful over in America at Easter time. We prayed for a lot of people and many were healed. We've got testimonies of wonderful, they said, miraculous healings. Even the pastor's daughter was healed of two conditions she had in the same meeting. I didn't even lay hands on them. I didn't even have to. Just preach the word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I believe that Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and shall ever be. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Shall we sing a song, Brother Peter? And June, if she's around. Oh, there she is. The Greek sister. What about singing that we haven't sung for a while? Yesterday, today, forever. This is the same. All may change. Shall we just stand? Churches are now saying that Jesus Christ was not virgin born. They're saying that he wasn't divine, he was just a good prophet. If he's just a good prophet, we're lost. We believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He came down in flesh and he died for us and he was a sacrifice offered unto God. And brother and sister, we should be so thankful to praise him and to go close to him and get close to God and stay with his word. Don't deviate from the gospel. Stay with what the Bible says. Don't add to it or take away. Just say what it says and God will bless us. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, today, forever. Would you like to come down?